It is an expression of who we are.
For Black folks, we're earthbound people. Our being comes from our connectedness to the earth, and no matter where we are, so that connection to the ground, that working of the food from the field to the table,
it evokes memories.
So our grandmother Carmen would test the masa. They would get a glass of water, maybe half full, and put it in the water, and if the masa floated, it was done.
Food is about love.
I'd like to say the most important ingredient at any family table is love.
Much of who we are, our family history, the zany stories, and the yummy recipes are shared over food. I'm your table host and folklorist next door, Yvette Blair Lavallee. And in this episode, I catch up with two generations of two families in North Texas as they share recipes, memories, and family history over hand-padded cultural foods. Foods like tamales, salmon croquettes, and made-from-scratch biscuits. So, pull up a seat. And join us for food, family, and the stories we share. We're just getting started.
One of my favorite foods to make is salmon croquettes. They are ooey and gooey. You have to get your hands into it. And when you're mixing it all up together, it's just kind of like soul-relieving work when you make the salmon croquettes. And if you make it right with love, they come out explicitly. You know, you put the eggs and the onions. And one thing my mother used to do that I still do is I don't use just straight salmon croquette. I mix it with jack mackerel. And you can't tell the difference. Of course, we had to do that when I was growing up because my mother could always afford to have two or three, there were four of us, and that she had to feed. And she couldn't always afford to have straight salmon all the time. So she would supplement it with the mackerel. And you're talking about some good. You cannot tell the difference. It is a wonderful, wonderful hand-padded, handmade substance that I still crave.
As Paula Watkins reminisces from her home in Denton County with her son, Christian, joining her from Washington, D.C., she mimics the hand-padded motions of shaping and forming these delicious salmon jack mackerel croquettes. And Christian, well, he lets us in on what happened the first time he saw his mom making them.
Remember the first time I saw my mom making them? And I saw her pull the salmon and the jack mackerel out of the can. And I was like, oh, that looks nasty. Because it still had the bones in it. And it was all gooey and had the congealed fish fat and whatnot. But then after I saw the process and whatnot, and after I started smelling it being cooked, I was like, okay, this is good. This is going to be good.
In the midst of talking about making salmon croquettes, Christian recalls another hand-padded food that he remembers his grandmother making.
I remember back in North Louisiana when my grandmother and her sister Aunt Jimmy and them would, you know, make the biscuits in the morning. How they would gently pat the biscuits in order to make sure that they were the perfect size and whatnot, place them, and just the carefulness and the intentionality of everything that they did. It was like a ritual. And all the elders would yell at them and tell them to get out of the kitchen, get out of the house, go back outside, blah blah blah. I'd be in the house, just taking in all the wealth, all the information, all the love that they would share around the table. And I totally miss those days, but those memories still live with me today.
While the salmon croquettes are getting browned in Grandma Watkins' cast iron skillet, let's head over to another part of North Texas, this time in Tarrant County. Susanna, her oldest daughter Hannah Grace, and Susanna's big sister Judy in from San Antonio are all gathered for a special traditional Mexican meal, handmade tamales.
Judy and I have memories of our father making masa without it being pre-made.
From scratch. You know,
we bought a pound for $1.89. And we high-fived and had a dance.
Yes, we did. When we found it, already pre-made.
Yeah, two big chunks of lard. As opposed to what? Did we grow up with it pre-made?
What?
Did we grow up with it pre-made?
Yeah, you've never had
it. Yeah, I've never made the...
You got to be strong.
You have to have like cornmeal or what?
Yes, it's cornmeal dried and you have to add lard to it.
Well, because I always knew we added lard. I didn't know.
Well, and you had to work it. And that's why our dad did it, because he was a strong one. He could do it, you know, while mom cooked the meat.
I was going to say Grandma Grace could have done it. Yeah, she could have done that.
I don't know.
Yeah. The thing about making authentic handmade tamales is that it's not a fast process. In fact, it takes a very long time.
Yeah, growing up, you used to take, it always felt like you took weeks.
Oh, I did, but this for this purpose. We cooked pork, some kind of beef, I don't know. Really don't know. And chorizo that we found yesterday at the market.
El Mercado.
Yeah.
Okay. It's my second food processor.
What?
It's my mom's.
I know that's your mom's. So what's the other one?
I had the same thing. It burned out. The motor burned making it. So I got it.
As Susanna, her daughter, and sister continue in this family activity of making traditional Mexican handmade tamales, I learned that the masa has to be perfected to a very particular consistency.
Okay, yeah, the consistency of peanut butter.
I was going to say making tamales is easy, but I've always made it with everything already assembled. I've assembled tamales. I don't think I've ever made tamales
from scratch. Okay.
So yeah, the meat itself, with beef broth, olives, chile, yeah, chorizo, and the beef.
So can you say something about the two-day process?
The house smells fabulous for 2 days while it's cooking, while the meat is cooking.
Right. Well,
and she cooks it in the slow cooker.
I always thought you cooked it for that long. Now that I cook, I guess it's to let the flavor seep in, but I always thought it was just to get the fat off of it, because you would cook it all day, and then you would cool it in the refrigerator, and then you would scoop the fat off the top and then do it again. I just thought you were trying to make them diet tamales. No.
Thank you for paying attention. I never knew. But yeah, it really is to blend everything, and the seasoning can really get in the meat. This is from my mom, you know.
No.
And yeah, and then to me, the smartest thing, which we didn't do with these, is put it in the fridge and let it, for lack of time, let it congeal and really take off bricks of fat from the...
So that you could put that right back into the masa.
Orange fat.
Right.
Food is tied to memory. Nearly every good family story that gets passed down to the next generation involves food. All these years later, Judy candidly retells the first time she made tamales after she got married and calling her mom to find out exactly what she needed to do.
My first time making tamales after I was married, I would call mom the week before and she'd tell me what meat to buy. I'd get that. And I, on day one, okay, this is what I did with this type of meat. And then she would say, okay. So every day I'd call her and I'd say, okay, what's next?
Would she answer you?
Yes, she would. And I'm thinking, it was a lot of work. Was she doing this on purpose? So our grandmother Carmen would test the masa. They would get a glass of water, maybe half full, and put it in the water. And if the masa floated, it was done.
There was enough fat in it.
Yeah,
there
was enough fat. I thought it was a lard thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it was enough fat. And a good tamale, if you have it just right, the lard I mean, the tamale will fall out of the husk.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to pick and peel.
Watching Susanna, Judy, and Hannah Grace hand pat and hand roll these delicious tamales, I learned something else surprising about this cultural food.
We always have these at Christmas. It's a little odd to me to have it not. I'm wondering if that's why you had so much trouble finding the prepared masa, because it's
seasonal.
I didn't know that everyone had it at Christmas. Now that I teach Spanish, the students will say, like, yeah, tamales, you make those at Christmas. And I was like, I knew I made them at Christmas. I didn't know that everyone did.
See, I told you, food is an expression of who we are. Well, before you get up from the table, let's circle back to the Watkins. Paula has one more story for us. Something about leftovers?
My mother would make food out of every little bit that was left over, especially potatoes. If she made whipped potatoes and we didn't eat them all, because she always made a bunch, and we didn't eat them all, put them in the refrigerator. The next day, next morning, she'd take those potatoes out and add flour and milk and egg to them and make hand-patted potato pancakes, the best you would ever lay your lips on. I haven't been able to replicate that yet. I've been trying all of my life to make a potato pancake like my mother. You know, the Jewish people call them latkes, potato pancakes. And they're from leftover mashed potatoes. And they are really good.
Talk about making something out of nothing.
Well, there you have it. Family stories passed down over hand-padded foods. Thank you for joining me for Food, Family, and the Stories We Share. I'm Yvette Blair Lavallee, your folklorist next door and table host. I'd love to hear what family stories you have over hand-padded foods.
This episode was hosted and directed by Yvette Blair Lavallee, a 2022 Community Folklife Fellow. The Folklorist Next Door is brought to you by Texas Folklife. Our technical producer is J.A. Strub. Our executive producer is Janelle Ramirez. To learn more about the fellows and their projects, visit texasfolklife.org. This project is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts.